Into the Woods opened at the Chattanooga Theater Center on February 13th to a packed house. The main stage fills with a cast of 24 as storybook characters come to life and face challenges as they go into the woods. I'm speaking with director George Quick about the Chattanooga Theater Center's adaptation of this award-winning play. Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods has been an award winner on Broadway. There's been an amazing movie that's come out with it.
Yeah.
I know that your selection of this particular performance had a lot to do with tying into the movie.
Yeah, definitely. It's been 20 years since the theater did a production of this play. So the last one was 1994. And when we saw that the movie was coming out, we figured it would be a good time to do our own production of it. Close enough to the movie that there'd still be some kind of buzz about it. But it didn't feel like it was going to be our Christmas show, so February seemed to be the place to do it.
Once upon a time, I wish in a far-off kingdom,
more than anything,
a young maid, a sad young lad,
I wish,
and a childless baker,
more than
with his wife.
The Broadway adaptation and the movie, there were some differences, and obviously there's differences in staging and a bit of the characters and the flash and all of that.
Right.
In keeping with the Broadway version, which is what you're doing, how often did you have your characters actually sit there and watch the Broadway performance?
We didn't, actually. I'm sure that a lot of people in the cast have watched it because they made that great video of the original Broadway production. They brought the cast actually back together specifically to create the video. But no, we didn't. In fact, our interpretation is much different than the original Broadway. Partly because I think that with this show, that has been done many, many times, and even by us 20 years ago. So we wanted to take a new approach. We looked at what does the material say to us. We looked at other productions. There was a production of it in Regent's Park in London, which it was an outdoor production on a multi-tiered scaffolding set in the woods. And they did some very different things with it that I found really exciting and interesting. And then they did a version of that again in Central Park, which was very similar but had some differences. And so that was kind of an inspiration point for us. And then our scenic designer, Sarah Michalika, found an image as an inspiration image. And it was a really interesting photograph of a library that had been like abandoned with trees growing in it. It was really exciting. There was something about that. So then we just sort of let that simmer in our brains and talked with each other, Sarah and Scott Dunlap, who designed the costumes, and I, and eventually came around to an idea of staging it in a bookstore, a children's bookstore. And the thing about the Regent's Park production is they translated the narrator into a young boy instead of a man. And what that does is put a little twist on the story, because it then cycles back to the character of the baker, then comes back out of the story at the end, and this is his son who's run away and made up this story in his head. It gives this dimension to the ending that's really powerful and strong. So we're doing that. He just hides out in a bookstore after it closes, and then his father comes looking for him at the end of the play. It's really fun having a young boy narrate the story. And this whole idea of a bookstore where all these stories are. And if you take it even further, the books and the shelves and everything are made of trees. So to me, it's just really layered and deep. And it allowed us this very different setting and then allowed for very imaginative costuming. It makes for a unique production that's, it's just really beautiful in a really offbeat way.
For people that aren't aware of the story, it's taking some of your favorite fairy tale characters. You have Cinderella in there, you've got Jack and the Beanstalk and the Giant and the Witch and Rapunzel, and of course the princes,
right,
who are not necessarily the gallant gentlemen you would expect them to be. And it kind of mixes all their stories together. Little Red Riding Hood, the Wolf, all of these stories are in the same woods happening at the same time. And the impact on their stories, you know, sometimes it's a this is what happened after kind of feeling.
Yes. They get what they wish for, and then life goes on after that. And so there's consequences. So Jack unleashes a giant. There's a beanstalk, and he gets the bean seed from the baker and his wife. So the way that James Lapine and Stephen Sondheim constructed the story, they wanted to do something with fairy tales. And they felt that fairy tales are so concise that if you open them up just by themselves, there's not really enough there to do a full evening of theater. And that's what made them decide to mix a bunch of fairy tales together. And so they created the vehicle of the baker and his wife who want a child. The witch tells them what they need to do in order to get a child. And that's what pulls all the other characters into their lives. They have to find a cow as white as milk. They have to find a cape as red as blood. They have to find the hair as yellow as corn and a slipper as pure as gold. And that gives us Cinderella, Rapunzel, Little Red, and Jack and the Beanstalk. And then, of course, Cinderella and Rapunzel have to have their princes. Cinderella has her stepfamily. Then you have the wolf with Little Red Riding Hood, and you have Little Red Riding Hood's granny. And all of this gets intertwined together, and you even then have Snow White and Sleeping Beauty, because of course once the princes find their wives, they're not finished in their conquests, and so they go off looking for more, and they find even less accessible women in Sleeping Beauty and Snow White. And so there's a lot of humor, but then there's a great deal of pathos of what happens by these seeds growing these vines up to the kingdom of the giants, and Jack hacking down the vine, killing the giant. Well, the giant has a wife who comes looking for who killed her husband. So there's consequences. Then it ends up creating a blended family after all is said and done because of what happened with the wishes that they got.
I suggest we find that boy now and give her what she wants.
But if we give her the boy, she'll kill him too.
And if we don't, she'll kill half the kingdom.
One thing at a time. Maybe if he apologizes and makes amends.
Yes, he will return the stolen goods.
Yes.
He's really a good boy at heart. She'll see that.
You people are so blind! It's because of that boy that there's a giant in our land. Now, while you continue talking about this problem, I'll find the lad and I'll serve him to the giant for lunch.
The performance opened last Friday, February 13th, and will run through the 1st of March.
That's correct.
How many showings will you have?
There will be 8 showings between now and March 1st. So Thursdays at 7 o'clock, Fridays and Saturdays at 8 o'clock, and Sundays at 2:30. And on Thursday, the 19th of February, is when we'll have our captioned performance. We have real-time captioning for those who are deaf or are hard of hearing, which really opens up something for people that would like to go to the theater, but if they can't hear, they don't really enjoy it. But even with a musical, it's fun for them to be able to follow it and not feel like they can't avail themselves of it. So the captioning is really fun.
And even though it's a bunch of fairy tales, it's definitely an adult.
It is. We're saying that it's like preteen and older. And it's not really because of anything graphic. There's not foul language, but the themes become somewhat adult. So I'm sure there are people whose younger children might be able to grasp it. But when people ask, we're saying, yeah, it's like 12 and above, or you make up your mind.
Well, it definitely wouldn't be harmful to a small child. No. You just might have to answer some questions later.
Exactly. It will bring up some questions that you'll have to discuss, which is kind of what happens with the baker and Jack and Cinderella and Little Red. They have to answer questions about morality. What is right and what is wrong? And is it always cut and dry? And that's a beautiful thing. The play says some really beautiful things and some interesting things about how we treat each other. The song No One Is Alone, in particular, towards the end of the play, is really about how you live with consequences of your actions. You may think it's us against them, but even then there's consequences. And I think that's what makes the play so timeless.
The Chattanooga Theater Center presents Into the Woods, directed by George Quick and musical director Tim Hink, through March 1st. More information and tickets available by calling 267-8534 or online at theatercenter.com. For WUTC's Around and About, this is Rabbit.